Blog Talk Radio.
John the Baptist wasn't really called to do anything in the eyesight of what people looked and revealed him to be. But through the power of God and through the power of the Spirit, God commanded that angel to go forth and speak the words into his heart that he may understand and realize that what he's about to do will open up the way for every man, woman, boy, and child. Stick with us. As we come back, we begin to say a few messages or a few announcements about our show tonight. And we're going to get right into this word. For those of you who are going to be with us on tonight, we thank each and every one for joining us. And we're going to get a look at Luke chapter 1, 14th chapter, and doing it the 17th verse. But there's going to be an amazing word on tonight. I believe God speaks spiritually each and every time he opens up this radio station. Even though some of the changes do try to come in our path, but God has decreed a word according to the kingdom. That his word will not go back void, but is declared to do everything it's all in therein. So join us as we continue to move forward after the music. The next voice you will hear is me bringing forth the prayer as we get started on this radio show. God thank you. God bless you. We love you. And I say once again, I'm Pastor Charles O.C. at Harvest New Life Church. And thank you for joining us on our H&LC studios on tonight at Harvest New Life Church here in the city of Dallas. God bless you. Stronghold in the name of Jesus. And I declare the word of God according to the Spirit. that no weapon formed against us should prosper, and nothing will be able to stand. Let's move into this word. I just feel there's some mixing up going on here, and I think God is about to do something here on this particular message. So what we're going to do is just make this word be solidified toward the kingdom, and we're going to move forward in what the Holy Spirit is speaking on this afternoon. Let me speak about, even before we go into this word, that there's so much that we have been kind of experiencing on the course of this show moving and some of the things we've been dealing on our radio station. But I still believe the word of God and what he said, that, you know, that's not a weapon that can't be formed against him that should prosper. And I believe there's nothing we'll be able to stand. And I just decree by the word of God that everything that we speak on tonight will be a revelatory word that will come from the kingdom of God. That even as we seem to set forth and it look like things are not moving according to we want them to move, but God is always a right on time God. He always moves just below the radar. I'm talking about yet all the soothsayers, all those who come out and speak against you with the work that God's prepared you to do. And it brings me back to a message I heard the other night on the Facebook messages. And I think the young man who spoke it out, he said, if God called you to do a work, it doesn't matter what the people say. And this is amazing when I speak about this, because we got to understand about what we're dealing with here on the area of preparation. Preparation, perform you to do that what God has called you to do. It's going to be all kind of things the enemy is going to try to speak against you and say against you in the terms of what God is calling you to be and calling you to do. But you got to believe what the word of God says. Another weapon that can be formed against him should prosper, or against you should prosper. And the word of God decrees that nothing will be able to stand. It's amazing when we look at the story and the introducing of the kingdom of God. When we think about the word of the book of Matthew, over the book of Matthew, we turn over to the book of Matthew, but we're going to go back to the book of John, and we see a powerful message come over the book of Matthew, chapter 1. I want you to flip over there, but I got some things I want to speak about as I go before I go to this word, because I just feel, you know, the Lord is giving me he just want me to speak to you just a second before we get into this word. Every message that I bring on this line is not something I just make up or put together. It's not going to be put in a theological form the way most people criticize and put it to what they feel it might be. Because I'm telling you, if you've ever been a player, a true player, and a really defensive player or offensive player, and you really know what it is to get out there and really work hard, I'm not talking about just rubbing shoulders with people who feel good about you. Because true friends are never going to tell you what you really want to hear. They're going to tell you things that need to help you to move forward. And this is the kind of atmosphere I keep myself in, because I'm not always worried about people who's going to give me what you call accolades, or pat me on the back and say, Pastor Ellis, you're doing a good job. I want people to understand that, be a coach to me, to make me feel that, hey, look, you need to step it up a little bit more where you're going. You need to give a little bit more training in what you're doing. You know what? I believe that when I got those kind of people around me, I accept them more. You know, I don't hang out with a lot of friends. I'm not trying to make a whole lot of them at the same time, because I know prophets really walk alone. And when you're going to walk with the kingdom of God, you just best believe the enemy's going to come at you. He's going to come at you in every way that he can to make you feel other than what God has declared it to be. It's amazing sometimes, when you walk in the kingdom of God, how it is that we all as men of God and women of God can't really get along in the kingdom of God to do the work that God has called us to do. It's always something we have to say or put down on somebody to make us feel other than what God declared in our lives. And you hear me say it all the time. I'm not forsaking the message, because it'll be a powerful message if I get this word. It's going to speak with you for a while. That even when you're on the field, if you ever played any kind of collegiate sports, I said before, any kind of team-oriented sports, you're going to have teammates you're not going to deal with. But I tell you, once you cross those lines to get on the field, everybody comes together and know their position. Everybody knows just what they have to do to make the team function fully the way it needs to function. And I'm telling you, sometimes when we look at the last day, the body of Christ is so pulled apart by cliques, clubs, games, ties, positions, and this little cahoochie that hangs out in the body of Christ. And it's really starting people to really just fade away from the church, really not come together, because it's all about popularity and status and fame. But I tell you, woman and man of God, I fly under the radar. And God puts you in my path and he feels the need to be in my path. And this is why I look at this word about the preparation of the kingdom of God. And I think about the man that bought the word, that introducing the kingdom of God, didn't look good in the eyesight of people. You know, when you look at John the Baptist, his eyes, the way he dressed and the way he carried himself wasn't fitting for anybody. I mean, the person introduces the kingdom of God, you look at Matthew, you look at Mark, you look at the inauguration of the spokesman, and he wasn't a polished speaker. You know, he wasn't a university degree speaker, like some of us boast upon the, you know, the bishops, the apostles. Now, I'm not saying people who like those words, that's fine. But I'm just saying, that's what you play, that's what you want to be, and that's what you are, then that's what you live on. Because I believe when you look at John the Baptist, he didn't look like anybody that was able to bring forth the word of God in such a way. And he looked like a man who was probably ridiculed, a man looking, he was like a hermit who lived in the Jordan Desert. Am I speaking to somebody? Who sustained himself from whatever food was available. You know, when you look at him, he was a pretty straggly man. But I'll tell you something. When God called you to do a work, it's never going to be a pleasing to the eyes of what people want you to be. This angel that came to John the Baptist, he spoke about John the Baptist. Now that he speak to John the Baptist, he told about the mission that he would have to do and the word he would have to bring forth. And as we look at the preparation of this word, and we go over to the book of Mark, we think about the power, how God prepared this man. So would he prepare you to do the work that he called you to do? No, you may not have the limelight that everybody may think you have. You might be the popular man in the city. You may not even be the popular man in the church. But I tell you what, when you start getting a hold of titles, you start relying on clicks, you start relying on positions and people to make you feel good, and you don't have enough guts down to yourself, and you seem like you're a little lily-livered, a little yellow on the back, and you feel like you got a chew on the back of somebody else to make them feel bad, to make you feel up. Yeah, brother, I tell you, you need to look back at yourself. You need to understand what the Word of God says over in the book of Corinthians. You know, you need to examine yourself to see if you have the faith. And you need to understand and realize if you ain't really designed to do this work, then you would need to step out the game. Because it's not about how many people you got in the church. It's not about the popularity of people say you are. You know, a supersonic jet flies silently until it actually gets over your head. Once it hits you with a demarcation, a thrust that'll knock you clean on your feet, because you never see it here coming because it's moving at the speed of light. And that's the way the Holy Spirit does. John the Baptist hit them with something so hard, and they didn't even understand which way it was coming. He will prepare them. I mean, a man came in the midst of the jungle. It reminds you of the Word of God when it declares decrees over in the book of 1 Corinthians. When you look at 1 Corinthians, and it talks over in 1 Corinthians, and we turn there for a second, and it's such a powerful word. Now, for sake of what we're going to speak in the book of John about the preparation of the Word of God is going to come forth. When you go back in the book of Corinthians, you go to the book of Corinthians, you look in the third chapter, it's amazing how God begins to bring the Word to the Corinthians and his first mission over to the book of over to Corinth. And it speaks about, that when you look at the third chapter over here, it starts off that he gets in a controversial discussion, whether Paul and Apollos get in a controversial discussion. Now, we're talking about preparation. Now, I want you to really pay close attention to this word, because it's not going to be bought the way you think it needs to be bought, but it's going to be made in such a way to astound your mind to get you to really think that God is not looking at the popularity of who the position of the person is. God's looking for a man who's faithful enough to understand that now in the earth there is a lot of what you call division. There's a lot of discrepancy going on. And God wants to send a voice of power, a voice of revelation, to speak into the hearts of the people, to declare that I am on my way back. He don't care whether you have a suit on, whether you have 10,000, you have 12,000. He want to know if you want to be just like John the Baptist in the wilderness, crying out, asking the people to repent, 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 because the kingdom of God is at hand. You know, it's amazing when we think about what I'm talking about, because go back over in the book of Matthew 24. It talks about how no man knows the time, place, or when the Son of Man will come. But this is a revelatory word for us on today. We ought not look at people in such a way that we got to be able to put them down and make us feel a little bit. You know, when you got people that's weak-minded, they want to put you down to make them feel better. But when you got a person who preaches the kingdom of God, no matter what it may look like, no matter how many people may be in their ministry, no matter how many people may be in their seats, because I tell you, man and woman of God, you can never bounce your vision off of pro-vision. What are you saying, Pastor Ellis? It ain't the amount of behinds you got in the seat. It's the body of word that you bring forth to touch and pull the callous of the parts of the people back to get them to understand that the kingdom of God is hand. Where am I going to live my next life? What is the next dimension that I'm going to live beyond what I'm living right now? Because I tell you, man and woman of God, everybody it's got to lay down one day. That body that you have, it's got to fall to the ground. And once it falls to the ground, your buildings are not going to matter. Your possessions are not going to matter. You got to be just like John the Baptist. You got to preach, repent, repent, repent. because the kingdom of God is at hand. If you understand and realize the word that you're speaking here, that this prophet is speaking to you, you got to realize and understand that God is calling you to a more higher level. As I adjust the mic on my blog talk show, for those of you out there in the blog talk, just want to adjust my mic, now excuse me because it was a little down. But for those of you who are hearing this word of God about kingdom preparation, the word of God declares over in the book of Corinthians. He says, now hold on, now look. Now, brother and I have come to speak to you with spiritual people. This is in verse 3. I just want to break this to you a little bit before I get into this book of Mark, because I got an interesting show for you. He said, brother, I cannot speak to you as spiritual people. What is he saying? There are people around you that got a way that seems, they got a look, they got appearance, that make it seem like they're a little bit more holy than they think they are. They got everything to make it feel like they're on top. But I'm telling you, man, the woman got, it ain't the building. It ain't the amount of friends you have. It ain't the amount of accolades. It ain't the amount of oohs you get. It's about those who are doing that same single walk. That's walking in the kingdom of God. That's staying in their lane. The Bible declares in due season. You may not be heard right now. Just like I talked about the word about Saul. And I talked about David. And went up to the house of Jesse. When he went to Jesse's house, everybody had the look of being a mighty man of valor. But I believe that prophet Samuel says, when he actually came through the Holy Spirit, I mean, the Holy Spirit talked and spoke to Samuel and said, is there not one more son? He said, yeah, there's one more. But he's out there flocking the sheep. And when he looked upon David, he looked at David as if he didn't have what it take to get an overflow from the kingdom. But hold on a second, man and woman, God. Saul had everything he had to make him appear that he was a king. But when you really understand, Saul had the appearance that he was on top, but he had already been denounced from the kingdom by his disobedience. God had already raised David up in the spirit, even when he had his sheep clothes on. So when you look at John the Baptist, you look at yourself as being a man and woman of God, you may not be attending the kind of service you want to attend. You may not be rubbing shoulders with everybody, but look, God is looking at your heart. And he's preparing you for something that's more greater than you can imagine or even think of. I believe I'm speaking to somebody on tonight. This word that I'm speaking out is dealing with you being prepared and preparing yourself, because God is about to do a new thing in your life. And the word of God says it should spring forth and they wouldn't even know it. When people look at you and they feel that you ain't got what it takes to get an overflow of the kingdom, don't worry. Let them keep watching. After a while, it'll come to full fruition. Just like this word over in 1 Corinthians. Paul and Apollo, even though Paul stood for the kingdom of the work of God, they got into a dispute about who was greater. But Paul, all he was actually doing is bringing the word to the people to make them understand that, look, I'm coming in representation as ambassador, that you may understand, that you may walk according to what the will and the purpose of God has designed you. Because over in the Corinth, it was just all messed up. They're kind of like we got in the church today. Everybody want to be a top-notch name. Everybody want to be something that they're not. But they don't understand all their suits, all their shoes, all their jewelry, that building they got, everything, they're going to have to leave it one day. And they're going to stand before the throne of God and get a count of the work that God has called them to do. This is why you hear me say, the word of God, I believe, according to my spirit, what God has put in my heart, he's going to ask you these things. He's going to say, what did you do with the life that I gave you? And what did you do with the gift that I put in you? Your gift is designed to do a Matthew 28. It's designed to go out and disciple. It's designed to equip people for the purpose of what God has designed and engineered them to be. When we understand the work and the purpose of this word that Paul is speaking over here in the book of Corinthians, he talks about how they feel in the position, that they weren't able, you know, they weren't able to eat the meat because of the discrepancy they had in their hearts about who was better and who was greater. But I believe the Holy Spirit came in the midst of the man. He began to speak a prophetic word. He said, who are you, Paul? And who was Apollo? Not forsaken either one of you, but look, one plant and one water. But you got to understand that God gives the increase. The book of Amos declares and decrees according to 3 and 7. He said, the word don't come into the land unless it's revealed through the prophet. God has got to pick his people to do the work that he called them to do. And when he called his people to do the work that he called them to do, I'm telling you, man and woman, God, you got to realize and understand it's not by your calling. It's not by your education. It's not by what you think you got a degree form or from. Because the Bible said those things will not reach the kingdom of God. You don't see now one of the disciples is preaching about anything in the Bible about what university they went to or what theological seminary they graduated from. Men in the world today is all about their titles, all about the degrees on the wall. But I'm telling you, man, the woman of God, one day all that stuff is going to go in the trash. And all you're going to do is be a member. And the only thing God is going to look at you is being, how did you prepare my people for the next journey in which they're about to walk in? And this is why I speak about this word, about the process of building buildings. The card declared the creed that even when you look at this donor area preparation, when a man comes together to begin to build things out of his own understanding, his own wisdom in his own hands, even though he say God gave it to him, but you got to understand the word of God says it like this over in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11. He said, there's no other foundation that anyone could lay than that which is of what? Jesus Christ. That's telling you right there. If God don't prepare the work that he put in your hands, it ain't going to amount to anything. He goes on and says over there in verse 12, he said, now if any builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, or straw. Now look what he says. If you're going to come into the kingdom, think that you got the ability to raise the kingdom and build it the way you think it ought to be, based on what we call tradition and man-made religion. Well, I don't got to have a church because everybody believes it's a building that makes me feel better. God said, no, you got to twist it. You got this thing tore up from the floor, but you need a checkup from the neck up because this ain't what I called you to do. It's not about your building. Now, I don't mind you getting something together to bring the people together to understand, to bring them, to give them the word. So like in the synagogue when Jesus Christ began to come. We talk about the story about the man who came. He was laying on the bed on the cot. He got to the top of the roof because the doors were full. But they say the brother tore up the roof, him and his friends, and they lowered Jesus in the midst of Christ. And Christ said, your faith has made you whole. If you don't get your relationship right with Christ, anything that you feel that you're going to build is man-made or physical structure, it ain't going to last. What are you saying, Pastor Ellis? You're going to have a foundation. You're going to have a relationship with Christ outside of what you see or believe or what may appear to the appearance of people. God is calling us in this season, in this time, to get ourselves together. I remember the story that Mary sings about heaven. It says how they got to get themselves together because they got somewhere to go. But one thing about it, they say, I'm praying when I get there. You know what that told me? That they lean it not to their own understanding. They're walking in the Proverbs 3 and 5. That they believe God is going to guide them to everywhere they're going. That they may make mistakes on the way. But the problem and the point is that they know the word of God. And any mistakes they may make, they got to repent. Let me show you something here. It says over in verse 13, 1 Corinthians 3 and 13, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare that because it will be revealed by what? Fire. The Holy Spirit is by fire. It burn up everything that's not God. When you go over the book of Hebrews, it talks about the general assembly of the firstborn for those who are registered in heaven, to God the judge and the mediator of those first man made perfect. Now, when you think about that, let me just go over there for a second. I want to just read this scripture over to you, the book of Hebrews. Now, I'm not forsaking what we're doing over here in 1 Corinthians 3. Now remember, we're on the 16th, we're on the 15th verse, but I want you to flip over to me to the book of Hebrews, and I want you to look at the book of Hebrews, and I want to see what you say. I want to see what you see with God speaking here about the area of the general assembly of the firstborn, for those who are registered in heaven, God the judge. Now, he didn't say anything about any man. He said he'd be the mediator. God divides and pulls in and out who he sees fits according to what he's called it to be. Now, I want to look at this real strong, because I am still looking at what we're talking about is about John the Baptist, but I want to see something so strong here that I want to get you to see that's what God is speaking in this particular word. I'm telling you, man and woman, God, you got to catch this, because I'm telling you, this ain't nothing that you'll read out of a book. This is coming straight through the Spirit that God has given me, and the way it's lined up is not to what man or any theologian has told you. Like he says in the book of Corinthians, well, he talks about that in 2 Corinthians, for a man only knows the things of a man, but no man knows the things of spirit. He said, look, you got to say the Spirit that's in you. Now, we go over to the book of Hebrews. We go to Hebrews chapter 12. I believe I'm on the right track. I think I'm up in here. It goes to Hebrews 12, and it says like this in Hebrews 12. We go down here to the 23rd verse. Now, notice how God talks about this in relation with the area of 1 Corinthians 3 and 16. Now, he said this. He said, to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, for those who are written in heaven. Now, you got to catch this. And to God the judge and to the mediator of the spirits of just man made perfect. Now, that tells me right there, according to John 4:24, God says spirits talk to spirits. That there's no way that you can make it to the kingdom on your own. That you got to understand that if you're going to prepare yourself for this work and you want to come on this side, you got to be led by the Holy Spirit. Not by what you think or what you feel or what you know. It's got to be strictly equipped through the Holy Spirit. In other words, you got to filter everything you do and everything you pray about through the Holy Ghost, that he may give you the answer. The Bible declares in the creed that say those who wait on the Lord, he will renew. Now, he goes over in verse 24. He says, Jesus the mediator. We know he's the go-between, the perpetuation for every one of our sins. He's a divider. He's the one to determine who's going in, who's going out. He said, Jesus the mediator of the new covenant. and the blood that sprinkled better things than that of Abel. Now you got to catch this. See that you not refuse him that speaketh. For if you escape not the refusal of him that speaketh on earth. Now come on, somebody, we got to catch this. Not much more will you escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from the heavens. Now that 25th verse says a whole lot. Now there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end is his death. Now you can understand what they're talking about here on earth. And you can ride up behind anybody you feel that may you think may lead you to the kingdom of God. But I'm telling you, man and woman of God, we are is just mouthpiece for the kingdom. We're not designed to be able to look upon us in such a way that we're more highly, or we think ourselves more high than we ought to think. Because it says right there, if you refuse him that speaketh down on earth, which is the prophet, the one who's speaking out of my mouth, and you can take it any other way. If you don't listen to the prophet who's on earth, and matter of fact, let's think about what he said in the book of Luke, over there in Luke 16. When you talk about the rich man and Lazarus, we know once the decision came, the Bible says it was a great gulf between the two of them. But in the midst of that scripture, in verse 16, in chapter 16, the man brings a word and he said, look, can you send somebody back up that warned my brother? He said, no, if you didn't hear the prophets I sent down to the true prophets, they will be the same position you're in. But if you refuse the one who speaketh over in Hebrews 12 and 25, he said, if you escape not the refusal of him that speaketh from earth, much more should you not escape. Look, you ain't going to escape Christ, because the Bible declares and decrees that he's calling on you each and every day. Each and every day you wake up, God is going to prepare you according to Jeremiah 29:11. He said, look, Pastor Ellis, look, Danny, Johnny, whoever you may be, look. He said, look, I'm trying to tell you something here. I know the thoughts and the plans that I got. Look, I know what I put in you. Look, before I created you, over in the book of Jeremiah 1 and 5, I knew what I put in you. A prophet ain't got the ability to put in you what I put in you. They may recognize the gift in you, but they don't got no ability to give you any gift. Because I am the creator. I am the master. I am the man. I am the one who designed and engineered you to be a workmanship according to Ephesians 2 and 10, to do what I declared you to do. He said, if you don't listen to my prophets who I speak according to Amos 3 and 5, you're going to listen to somebody else on earth. And if you escape that position, then you will be in the same position that the rich man was in over in the book of Luke 16. You'll be right down there burning the hell the way you feel you be. That's a word that's feared in the kingdom of God. We want to talk about prosperity and joy. But I'm telling you, when you don't get yourself prepared to move in the area where God wants you to move in, guess what? It ain't no two ways about it. The Bible declares and decrees that a devil-minded man will be lost in all his ways. We see that over in the book of James. And then, boys, when it seems like you're going through divers times, and it seems like you're going through trials, the Bible says you need to count things all joy. You ought to be glad when you're going through trials, because you know what? You got a chance to put your faith on the line that to believe that the Messiah, the power of God, and what he done on the cross, it got the ability to loose you from every alien that try to come against you. Am I speaking to somebody this afternoon? The Bible decrees is such a powerful word over in the book of Numbers 23:19-21. He said, look, I am not that person. I am not a God that I should lie. I'm not your partner. I'm not your friend. I'm not a son of any man. I am the creator. I've been given a commandment to bless, and I cannot reverse it. Don't you know and understand and realize, according to the word that I speak in Isaiah 55:11, look, my words will no go by void. But I'm telling you, if you have faith, as small as a mustard seed, I declare and decree that they will accomplish and do all that in therein. I'm talking about preparing yourself. First, preparing yourself through faith and knowing and understanding that God is a God that makes a way out of no way. He goes over in the 26th verse and talks about the thundering push of his voice. Now, you can read your breakdown or whatever you reread and you think that's what it is, but I'm speaking to you strictly from the Spirit because God has given me revelation on this preparation. He says over in 1 Corinthians, that 12th chapter in the 26th verse, he said, who voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more, I will shake not the earth, but the heaven. Do we understand what's going on around us? We look at things going on in the Gaza Strip. We look at all the killings that's going on around us. God is shaking up some stuff. He's trying to shake you up to understand that you may not like it when I shake it up, but it's going to be good for you. Now, a lot of us are going to like it when it shake out, but it's going to be good for you. But I'm telling you, when you get in that cycle, and you go to that wash, and you put that thing on turbo, and they got to take you through a fantastic washing. Each time you go through a cycle, you got to thank God that each time you go through, you're coming out a little bit more cleaner. Now, you're going to put on a fast spin cycle, get in and get out, then I'm the ones who are going to fall short, because that gives you appearance. That make you appear that you got a form of godliness. But when you go through a full cycle, a full wash cycle, put something in the washer, and take it through a full wash cycle, and you put the kind of stuff on it to take every stain out of it, and you put it in the right kind of wash and use the right detergent, which is the Word of God, to wash you. The Bible said the Word of God will wash you. It will shake you in the midst of while you stand. Now listen to me on this, woman of God and man of God. He says over in 1 Corinthians, over that 12th chapter, 27th verse, he say, in this world, yet what's more signified. Now, you know, signified. Now, come on. I'm guaranteeing that what I'm saying is going to come to pass. The removal of those things that are not shaken, but the things which may made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Let me read that again. In this word, which is the Word of God, yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Let me tell you something. Everything that's in you that's not like God, when you go through that trouble, it's got to shake off. Anything you want to stay with you, you're going to refuse the word that's speaking from heaven. And when you refuse the word that's speaking to heaven, I ain't got to tell you anymore. Read Luke 16. Look what happened to that brother. You want to gain the riches of the world? You want to have all the prosperity and joy and make it seem like you got it going on? Rather than going through the cycle and preparing yourself for to be clean in the midst that when you come out, you'll be white as snow? That's what David spoke about. Even when he got into the decision with Bathsheba, David knew for him to move forward, he had to get it right with God. That's why when you look at the book of Psalm 51, that's one of the most powerful repentant prayers in the Bible. He had to get that thing right. Even though he suffered some loss in the midst of what was going on, David knew that he had to get it right with God. They said David was a man after God's own heart. He didn't care about what was around him. He didn't care about who said anything about him. David was focused like a laser beam. He knew what he had to do. But the word goes on and says over in verse 28, he said, well, receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. That's the word of God. We're talking about kingdom positioning, kingdom preparation, preparing you for what God designed you to do. The Bible says no good thing, according to Psalms 84:11, will he hold from those who walk upright. Am I speaking to anybody this afternoon? I believe I got a church up in here. He said, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. This is where we run into this era when we go back over to the book of Luke. Because our God is what? He's a consuming fire. What are you saying there, Pastor Ellis? What are you speaking to us about this afternoon? What does God put in your heart to speak? That even though our minds are twisted and being torqued, it looks like a bunch of stuff is going up in the air, but I'm hitting you dead in the head with a nail. And I'm getting you to understand God is calling you in this season to prepare yourself, because sure as I speak, the word of God is coming. The kingdom is at hand. God is telling you, prepare yourself and get ready to move. Just like he told Joshua 1, look, get up, get ready, prepare these people, and get over this here Jordan. Because I'm about to take you somewhere that's going to knock out every demonic thought and every demonic demon and every demonic path that's in you. You're going to nail everything. And Joshua took the men and told them to get rations and prepare. Over in Joshua 1 and 18, he told them, anybody rebel against that, what I'm calling you to do, look, put them to death. Look, kill them. That's how serious the word of God is. God is not playing in the season he's in. God wants you to get together and move on what he's calling you to go. When we look back over in the book of Mark, and we look at the beginning of the gospel of John, the Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it was written, a prophet, behold, I send a messenger. What do you think God is saying? I got messages down there. I'm sending them toward you. Even though the messages you may come across may not be appealing, they may not have the biggest building, they might not have the best suits on. Am I speaking to somebody? They might be the person on the side of the street that's holding a sign up to you. Look at it, got liquor on their breath. And they're telling you a prophetic word because you're so up in mind and you don't think you can receive anything from somebody lower than you, you will miss the blessing what God has in prayer for you. Listen to what I'm saying. He said, the beginning of the gospel, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophet, I behold, I send a messenger before your face who will prepare the way before you. His voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. You don't know what kind of prophet is out there speaking to you. You're so busy looking at the person behind the pulpit with a suit on and looking at the size of a building and a man of God who's standing out there look like he's been living on razor blades, look like he ain't had a bath in 20 years, and then whether he got a beer in his hand because he got a sign in his hand so he must eat. Guess what? You speak a word to you, you know what you do? You roll your window and look at him if you ain't got what it takes. You don't even want to hear what he got to say. Your ears begin to get blocked. But you know what you'll do? You'll go right out there You hear somebody who got it going on. You hear somebody got a 10,000. I ain't saying nothing wrong with this, but I want you to understand. Ain't nothing wrong with a man being blessed with a million person sanctuary. But what I'm trying to get you to see is not all about the physicality. If your relationship ain't right with Christ, it doesn't matter what the physicality look like. It doesn't matter how many people there be. It doesn't matter how kind of Apollo or university type voice he got. It doesn't matter to him. But we're so blinded by the four corners of the world that the God of God is telling you, you need to get your mind. That blockage is killing you. He said you need to get your mind off the parallel, and you need to look at the vertical. You need to look up. Because I'm calling for something that seems strange to you. Now, God said, for my ways and your ways are far from the heavens and earth. When God sends something to you to give you a word, it may not look like it's appealing to you. It may not even look like it got the ability to give you anything. Because if you're so trained in what you feel you think Christianity should be, you're so mixed up in religion, you stuck right there where you are. And this is why you don't receive the word of God from a person that seems to look like they're below you. A person that seems like they have a standard on you to the point that you don't even understand how can they say something to you and you know how they are. But you know what? God has already transformed them. He already changed them. They're already in another dimension. That's why he says over in the book of 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All old things are passed away. Peter didn't look like he had what it take, but you know what? God put his hands on him. When God put his hands on him, he outshined all the other disciples. Not saying he was better than the rest of them, but Peter knew that Jesus was the Messiah. He said, Peter, who do you say I am? Peter said, you know, you are the Christ. He said, no, flesh and blood didn't give you that. Even though you may be a fisherman, you may be out there, and you may be good at fishing and what you're doing, but this thing I'm telling you right now, this is my profession. And the word you just received, no, did no man give you that. Because I was sent from the kingdom to do the work of the one who sent me. Read it over in John 14. I come not to do the work of myself, but I come to do the work that has sent me. No, don't pray me, but pray for the one who sent me. Because I come to do the work who sent me. And you got to understand, it's not about you. You got to prepare yourself. The Bible says you got to humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you when in due season. When is your due season? When you prepare to get yourself right. I'm telling you, you out there bumping your fat head against the wall, complaining about the notch of your head, and you don't know why things are moving where you are. You probably got finances all around you, but you ain't got no peace. You probably ain't got no money, but you ain't got no faith. I'm telling you, if you're going to move in the kingdom, you got to move in faith. You got to have faith. You got to believe beyond a shadow of a doubt. What looks like in the physical ain't nothing to do with the spiritual. That's what he said. What he said over there in the book of Hebrews, read it. He said, faith is evidence. He talks like a lawyer to you. He's trying to get you to prepare. If you're going to move in this realm, you got to move by faith. You got to understand that in the midst of where you are, God is calling you to move in a spiritual realm. What does it say in verse 4? He says over in Mark verse 4, he said, John baptized in the wilderness and preaching the baptism of repentance. What did he preach? That was only one word he had to preach. That was repentance. Let me show you something here as we stop in verse 4. I want to show you something here. An angel announced John the Baptist's mission. John the Baptist didn't announce his own mission. An angel announced his mission. When we look at a person who introduced the kingdom of God, we said, and the kingdom of God in Matthew and in Mark, and then it seems like, you know, he wasn't a really appealing spokesman, but through the process of him being obedient and being contained to be the messenger for the kingdom of God, a keynote speaker, we see. And most people understand that this man didn't even have what it take. But you know what? Because of what God put in John, John understood the kingdom of God. And if you read Luke's gospel, we hear that the story on John, that he was in fact, you know, a cousin to the angel that announced Mary's pregnancy. We talk about that. And that Jesus also tells Mary that her cousin Elizabeth, and she was already, matter of fact, when she was already 6 months pregnant and with the baby, and who became known as John the Baptist. We see this already in the scriptures. The father, Zechariah, the priest, and the mother, and who came the priestly family, and the presence of God, and God had been in the position as a son, as God-fearing folk. There was actually God-fearing folk, as I want to correct myself on that, because I think about the process of how people would believe something like this. You know, the word came to them and told her that what she was carrying was going to be the representation, was going to pave the way for the people to understand that there's a Messiah coming. They had to be God-fearing folk. Because, you're going to what? You're going to do what? It's just like Jesus over in the book of John 11. When he announced the word about the process of how Lazarus was dead, has died, and we look over there for a short smidge in the book of John, there's a flip over there. He talks about announcing how Lazarus has died, but disciples, as if something was wrong with them, that they didn't understand. Jesus is trying to give them a revelation about what's going on, how then to get them to walk by faith. It's same with the children of Israel when they're out in the desert. Eat all you can eat today, I'm going to give you some tomorrow. But they were so what you call, Egyptized, that the Egypt mentality, they didn't know what walking by faith really was. They didn't know how to prepare themselves for the next dimension or the next prosperity vision that God called them to do, because they had Egypt mentality, and they couldn't come out of the Egypt mentality. And over again, Christ showed them, God showed them what it was that he was preparing through Moses, that they saw in a true and living God. You know, he said, but I mean, the water from the rock, we talk about the cereal from the air. I mean, we talk about the water, the branch in the water, sweeten the water. I mean, we talk about the quail from the air that blew in. They didn't even read over in Numbers 11. I mean, you know, it's some amazing things happened to get them out of that state of man they was in, because he knew they was institutionalized under Reverend Pharaoh. And that's what God is telling you right now. This is what John the Baptist is right now. John the Baptist even looked like a man he had with the take to bring the word of God. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, when you begin to look at people in such a way that you don't think the way they got to take, you done messed up. It's not about all the things and events you have in the building. It's not all about the events you kind of get the city to come together to see how good of a preacher you was. No, look, you need to get out in the highways and the byways. Look, a church that doesn't have evangelism will die. I'm telling you, man and woman, you better hear what I'm saying. A team of ministers who don't put together an evangelism team, that church will die. Because I'm telling you, when you're not preaching the word of God, you will find out that they're not going to come. The Bible said, build it and they'll come. How will they come? Through the Holy Spirit. How is it presented? Through the power of God. That God caused people to come to your church supernaturally in ways that you can't even imagine. You don't see Jesus run out there nowhere, the dodo having fish fries. You don't see Jesus nowhere around selling this and selling. Jesus was declaring the word of God that I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Everything that's in me is already proclaimed to go forth. You got to believe in the season which you're in. You don't need no gimmicks to get forth what God has called you to do. You got to have faith. It takes faith to operate in the kingdom realm. It takes faith. Ain't nothing wrong with you having a nice size building, the people, but you got to understand that you can't let that sidetrack you. God is calling you to walk in faith, and a man who walks in faith will receive more than you ever thought you would ever receive in your entire life. Because the word of God said, "What the just shall what walk by faith." He said it's written. Matter of fact, that for the sake of time, I'm pushing here a little quick on this word, but I want to finish this over here, as I said over in John 14 before I go back to the book of Matthew. And I wanted you to see something here in John 14, as God gives a prophetic word about his actual coming and what his son is designed to do and how you need to believe in what the Father has sent for. He says over in the book of John 14, verse 10, as I read it here, he said, "Do not believe me." He said, "Do you not believe that I am in, that I'm in the Father and the Father in me?" He says a question mark there when you look at your Bible. If you read out the King James Version, he says, "The words that I speak, I do not speak of myself or my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me, he does the work." I say the Father's going to do the work. It ain't us. It's the Father that does the work. He's got the Lord, Philippians 1 and 6, 8, that he began the great work in you. He's the one who can perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. Takes us right back over to the book of Corinthians, over in that second chapter. And it talks about right over there, right in your face. I mean, the third chapter, right over there, going through the verse that 3 and 10. He talks about the process of any man built on this foundation other than that which is which has already been laid. You know, his works will suffer loss. And the same thing Christ is telling us right here. He said, "Look, you got to believe on me. If you're going to see the Father, you got to come through me. If you can't come through me, you can't see the Father." And that's why I don't put no reference against anybody. You know, I'm telling you. But when you talk about the Catholic faith, they got Jesus through in the corner somewhere, and they got Mary through in the corner somewhere. They got Mary up front and got Jesus through in the corner somewhere. Now I don't know how you get that, but it seems like that stuff grows, and it goes to show you. You got to separate yourself. You got to understand that if you got to know who the true living God is, and you got to realize and understand in the season that you're in, it's going to take a God to bring you out of whatever condition you're in. Jesus declares it again as I read over in verse 10, do you believe that I'm in the Father in me? And the words that I speak, I do not speak of myself or my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. He goes into verse 11. He said, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the work's sake of themselves. In other words, if you don't believe me for the work. Look at the miracles I have done. Look at John the Baptist. I mean, look at Brian Barnum and Bayless. Look at the woman with the issue of blood. Look at Jairus. Look at the water pot. Am I speaking to somebody? Look at the fig tree. Peter's mother. Come on, somebody. He said, you've been with me all this time. If you don't believe me and that I am the Messiah, believe me that the work that I'm doing. He goes on in the 12th verse. He said, most assuredly, I say to you, that he that believeth in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. He's trying to show you something like that. He's preparing you to have the ability and the power, according to the word of God, to be the called things, according to Romans 4:17, to be the God gave you a prophetic word in your mouth through his son, that through the blood and what you shed on the cross, that he's already preparing you. Am I speaking to anybody this afternoon? God has declared and decreed. He gave you a Jeremiah 29:11. He told you in Jeremiah 1:5, look, I prepared you. I made you. I engineered you. There's nothing too hard for you to do. Am I speaking to you in Jeremiah 32:17? God said, I don't care what you're going through. He said, according to Mark 9:23, you're going to have belief. You're going to have faith. The Bible said to him that believe all things are possible. He didn't say impossible. He said he's the God of the impossibility. He said to him that believeth all things are possible. I can give you history all day long about some of the things that took of this current event. But I'm getting you to understand the basic words I'm speaking to you. God will prepare you for what he created you. He already gave you dominion according to Genesis. He already gave you power according to Luke 10:19. He gave you the ability according to Ephesians 1:20 to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. God already designed you to flourish forth. But you're going to have to believe it. You can't operate in preparation of preparing yourself to go forward in anything else unless you practice for that particular game or event that you're in. No practice, no play. Am I speaking to somebody? Y'all know what I'm speaking about. Like I said in high school, no pass, no play. You can't come into the kingdom half-cocked and then believe that because you got a building and you got money coming in and you got to understand that is it. No, that ain't it. Your job is to transform and change. Like that apostle I talk about over there in Houston, Texas, over the Disciples Tabernacle. He's a master disciple maker. He's a master equipper. But you know what? You don't hear him all over the radio. God seeks these people out to me, and he shows me and tells me about them. The man is in his 70s, and the man can probably run a race faster than I can run it. That's God preserving. In other words, he is really just getting started. He's just really coming out of the blocks. He's really just getting ready to do the work. God has already anointed him to move forward in the progress of what he's in. No, he ain't slowing down. No, he's speeding up. Am I speaking to somebody? As I was on my way to home today, I was out doing some shopping today, looking at some things, and I was looking at some stuff I had to take care of because of engagement I got to speak on this coming end of the month, and I met a nice young lady by the name of Miss Kim, and she got to tell me about her bishop, Bishop David Smith, and then she told me about the name of the church. It wasn't so much that Bishop David Smith caught my name, caught my ears. It's the name that I saw in this church. He said his church is called Valley of Faith. He said his church is called the Valley of Faith. Am I speaking to anybody? When you go back over there and you look over in the book of Ezekiel and you see the word of God over that 37th verse, he talked to that brother. He told him, man, can these bones live? Everybody said, brother, Lord, you know. In other words, he was skeptical about what he was about to think about. But this is the thing that gets me. They said the name of his church was called the Valley of Faith. Am I speaking to somebody? The word came to me right over in jail and over there, Ezekiel 37, when the hand of the Lord came upon them and brought them into the spirit, and he set them down in the midst of the valley of dry bones. I'm talking about, he was in the valley, I'm talking about preparation. getting your mind solidified to the point that what I'm about to do, that ain't going to come to no normal action. I'm getting to see that you're serving a living God, a God of mesmerization, a God of supernatural ability. And if you can't believe the works that I'm doing, what he said in John 14, then you already lost the race. If you try to build this thing on your own hands, prepare your own kingdom, guess what? He said, he already told you, it's going to fall. I ain't got to read it over there in 1 Corinthians 3 and 11. He said, it's going to fall. All of it's going to come apart. I ain't got to talk to you about it. It's going to fall. Because when you realize and understand, it's the works, it's not that you do, it's the works that he do through you. God is calling you to believe him even in the midst of what seems like things are not moving. God is calling you to stand firm in your faith. Man, woman of God, I'm telling you, kingdom preparation. Pastor Charles Ellis here at Harvest New Life Church. I don't know what's going on around you. I don't know what's happening in your life. But I'm telling you, whether you listen to this station today or not, I'm going to be right here every day, all night, if it takes me to minister this word. You ain't got to tune in at all. But I'm telling you, the words that I speak truth. You can run off any way you want to run off. But I'm telling you, this word right here is undeniable. It's a word that comes straight from the kingdom of God. And I'm telling you, on this night, God is saying, set yourself and prepare yourself. Because God is about to take you over a Jordan. God is saying, preparation is evident. It's at hand. And God is about to do just what he says he's going to do. God bless each and every one of you for joining me this afternoon. As I said before, I'll be coming right back with the end process of this message, of this series I've been dealing with on Seven Kings of Kingdom Preparation. And I want you to join me on this coming Thursday night. And we're going to be rolling into a new series this coming Friday. But I wanted to tell you something. I pray for each and every one of you. Whether you love me or not, it doesn't matter to me. My job is to bring you the word that God told me to give to you. And that word that I give you comes straight from the kingdom of God. And I declare by the power of God that this word will not go back void. But it will encrypt the ears of the people. It will go in so deep that it will penetrate inside the lodging of the man of your brain. That you will understand and realize in the season of what God has called you to do. You're not going to get no sleep. You're not going to get no rest until you do what God called you to do. Until you stop putting your mouth in places ain't supposed to be put, and you start speaking what God calls you to speak. God bless you. God keep you. Father God, I thank you for this word in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I decree your word according to the kingdom, that even as I speak, Father God, the word that I speak not of myself, but I speak to the power of the Most High God. I'm asking you to touch your people in every area and every part of their life. Let the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit begin to come forth, Lord, and move like wildfire. Let their tongues begin to speak out those words that they never spoke before, Father God. Give them a brand new, fresh anointing, that they may understand and go out and do just the work that John the Baptist had declared to do. The word of God declared to decree, there's a work of a word of a prophet preparing the way in the wilderness. And I believe in the midst of the season where these men and women of God are on tonight and on today, that even as they rise up in the morning, Father God, it'd be like a sledgehammer to hit them and knock them clean across the other side of the bed. That they'll wake up with new revelation, a whole new outlook. But this thing right here, they know it's about to crack. This thing is about to blow up. And if I don't get it right now, I ain't going to never get it right. Because I don't want to spend the rest of my life on the other side in hell. I don't want to be like the man over there and the rich man. I want to be in Abraham's bosom. I want to be on the side with Elijah. Father God, touch each and every one of them. Touch their families. Touch their marriages. Touch the pastors. Touch the men of God who ask you to go out every day and do the work that you called them to do. Not by education, but by revelation, through the power of the Most High God. Lord, I decree this word right now in the name of Jesus, that even as we speak, Father God, that not one weapon will be formed against them shall prosper, and nothing will be able to stand. I thank each and every one for joining me here at Harvest New Life Church. I believe in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that every word that I speak this afternoon has already went forth. And I mean no demon and devil in hell can stop it. I declare by the word of God, by the power of the Spirit, that it has been received. And I believe it will not go back void, but it will accomplish all that therein. I thank each and every one of you for joining me here at Harvest New Life Studios, here at Harvest New Life Church. On behalf of my co-pastor Patty Ellis, who's a beautiful woman of God, God bless you and God keep you. I take a hat off to my apostle, to my father in the ministry, Apostle Oscar Walker, who's always guided me with truth and wisdom and understanding, to know that the words that I have to speak has got to come from the kingdom of God. I thank him and I bless him on this night, that him and Pastor Joyce will continue to do that work that God called him to do, because he had really just begun. I thank each and every one for joining me here at Harvest New Life Church. Once again, I say I'm Pastor Charles Ellis. Call me, leave a comment, hear what the word of God has to say. Go back to your archives, And I believe it's going to get something out of it as you continue to listen to it. God bless you and God keep you.